Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you so much for joining us today on Taking the Pulse on Today's Energies. Today, we are going to be talking about fear. That's truly what I wanted to do on these Sunday live shows, is to be able to talk about what is going on around us, what is coming up for us, and what are we finding that we are saying, I need to ask someone, I don't know. We go to social media, we are asking about the virus fears, we go to our friends and we say, I have fear, maybe I won't be able to take care of myself, can you help me? We have fears around who will be there for me when I need some help. We have fears around, what if I don't have enough? Will I be able to survive? Will I be able to be okay if something should come down the pike? This is what we will be talking about today, is fear, anxiety, and worry. It's truly about a line, and you can bounce back and forth. And we go, fear is all the way over to one end, and then we have anxiety, and then a little bit of worry. We kind of come into balance, and then we get on the other side of the same line, and we get into denial. Or, oh, that does not exist for me. I'm going to keep myself separate from it. It is not in my paradigm. Well, the difference is that we as humans are also truly existing within this paradigm, and it's just what we choose for that moment. What can we choose for this moment in time? Can we be afraid? Can we say, this is my fear, bring it up, and say, ah, that's what I'm fearing. I didn't realize that. Is it going to control me? Is it going to drive my bus? Or is it going to put me deeper into a spiral? Today on Taking the Pulse on Today's Energies, when we talk about fear, anxiety, and worry, what we are talking about is saying, what is your fear? How can we shift some of that energy? And how can we also take care of self? You know, we can say, I have a fear that I'm going to run out of gas. Well, maybe you need to stop. Put some gas in your car because there isn't any gas. But also understand that there's a gas station on every single corner, and I have a credit card, so I'll be able to have gas. What is your real fear? Is it a fear that maybe something else is coming up for you? So really what we also want to say is respect everybody for where they are on this line, on this paradigm. You may have many fears. I might have many anxieties and worries. Sometimes they keep me up at night. Okay, that's where you are. Be in the place you're in, name your fears, realize what's going on, and seeing what you can do to be able to work through the process. Today, I have two co-hosts. My first co-host is Joanna Spano. She's going to be talking about energy healing, and we'll be sharing about how we can move energy. My second guest is Linda Patrick. She's a Reiki master, and she's going to be talking about elders and how we can take care of ourselves if we're living alone, if we just don't have the support systems sometimes around us that many have these days, and how can we take care of our fears and worries and be able to find some secure answers. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm looking forward to the show.
Yes, it's such a pleasure to have you, Joanna. I think sometimes we look at fear and we say, yes, it is all out there. It always is. Peace is always out there too. But do we have to be on either end of this existence to be able to be okay? I think sometimes people say, I fear cancer. Okay. You fear cancer, so you go out and you take care of your body. You do what you're supposed to do with your diet. You do your best thing with your health to your knowing in this moment. I think sometimes the idea of do we fall short, is fear really connected sometimes to falling short, a sense of shame or guilt or I did it wrong? That comes up a lot for a lot of people, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of different reasons why fear comes about. And a great deal of what I do, actually primarily what I do, is work with emotions, because emotions are magnetic energy. And fears can actually draw to our experiences, like match the experiences will match what we're holding within. So, for example, if somebody has a fear of, falling off a cliff or heights or things like that, believe it or not, or fear of viruses or fear of illness or fear of death or anything like that, they can actually draw those matching experiences to them.
Right. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, I don't want it near me. And they put up this big gold shield around themselves. Or they say, I'm going to put on my armor and I'm going to protect myself at all costs. When in essence, as we let's talk about the spiritual thing for a few minutes. And when sure. If we are looking at changing and shifting our energies, changing and shifting our frequency or vibration, yes, but fear also can come into the light, and that's the only way it can be transformed. So, in other words, do we say we want to really live in a world where there's no fear? Not really. Fear has its purpose. It shows up. That's what its job is. It shows up. Just as joy shows up or peace shows up, fear can show up because it's seeking the light or it's bringing you on another journey. Instead of always pointing the finger and saying, oh, but that's wrong, that shouldn't be here. Not necessarily. Don't you think?
Well, fear, fear is not a necessary part of our lives. Too many people, what happens is they adapt to either physical ailments or emotional things going on, and they may take medications or they seek alternative methods of healing. But the thing is, if we go into the root causes of the fears, then that's exactly, what you pointed out, is taking a good look at what the fear is about and identifying the emotions that come with that. And what ends up happening is we're moving from a state of denial into truly looking at the root of the problem. And then by doing that, it releases on the very deepest levels, even ancient beliefs that could be previous lifetimes where the origins of these fears come from. And by addressing them, naming them, identifying them, taking a deep look at them, they then are given light, and then they become released, and people will find greater peace in their lives this way.
Yeah, I think that sometimes the ideas that we try to think our mind or our ego or our belief system is what is going to be the controlling factor. And when fear shows up, we say, oh, but that does not fit in my paradigm. And then when it doesn't fit in your paradigm, it's almost like you're pushing against two walls. Do you know what I mean? In other words, things show up. It's not always that you have to take it on as a mission or a task to be able to complete. However, it might be something to just say, is there a possibility? Is there a potential? And then you could walk through it, walk around it, or it will just disperse. But sometimes when, we see this all the time in healthcare communities, people will say, oh, goodness, I had a doctor who was taking care of my heart, but then he turned around and he had a heart attack, so he mustn't be a good doctor anymore, and I'm going to have to find a different one. You know, the idea of perfection, of everybody has the answers. I think truly when we talk about fear, anxiety, and worry, it almost resonates on the point of what is the truth or our truth. And that's kind of what starts to get shaken, because I think sometimes that's where our fears come from. Is my truth being shaken? You mean I need to think something differently, act differently, see something differently? isn't that maybe where sometimes then it's almost like the nails start to come out of the box, don't you think?
No, exactly. See, the thing is, what happens when we start denying how we're feeling, we're denying the emotions and the fears and all that, and we push them aside, push them down, it's sort of like a pressure cooker where all, you know, it just may erupt. It has to show up somewhere.
Right.
Emotions don't go away. They you know, can build up, such as rage, anger, and anything having to do, fear, anxiety. It's just taking a look at what is the cause. I do a lot of diagnostics type of healing where somebody comes to me with a situation or a physical ailment. And what we go into is we see fears that can be manifest physically on the body. And love needs entry points. So in order for loving light to get in, we need to clear those parts of the body where light cannot 100% go into. And as we clear the emotions, then light comes in, and then the healing, you know, more in-depth healing can take place.
Right. And what you're really talking about is working with energy methods and be able to do energy healing. And we forget that... we also have a human part. So we'll talk about that later with my second co-host, Linda, about the human part of what we need to move there. But also when we're talking about the energy with you, Joanna, it truly is the also part of our being. In other words, we're not only a spiritual being. We're not only a human being. We're so much more. And I think we think we're just those two. We might even be more. We just can't comprehend it yet. So I think the idea to understand we're working in all aspects of self and what comes up for us, that's the exploration of really what's showing up for you today, right?
Oh, exactly. Well, we're born of light. Our physical bodies house our light. And again, where the light cannot go on the physical body, then that will, you know, most likely manifest in the physical. And here's the thing, too, is when people incarnate and they roll over these fears and they roll over and they roll over, it can, again, like a snowball rolling down a hill, it can get so much bigger so that when they incarnate, it doesn't, you know, the whole transition, the death process, does not erase like an eraser on a board. It does not wipe away these emotions and the roots of these emotions, but it just simply goes over into the next lifetime, and it can be so much more. This is why, like I mentioned before, some children are born with heart defects and other kinds of disabilities. It's because it was rolled over in from previous lifetimes. So it's very important we address it. You know, do we suffer long term? You know, just keep taking medications and ointments, or get a walker, or get, you know, this and that, or do we just address it, you know, right then and there, and look at the fears and then release them, because it's a matter of releasing the old to bring in the new.
Right, because I think sometimes the fear is, we say, I have fear of a current situation. And just as we said in the intro, is that we could have a fear of the virus that's out there today. However, our fear might be that someone might not come to pick you up. Someone might not call to see how you're doing. Fear could be you don't have enough food in your home. Fear could be that you're not able to get help when you might need it. And all of these are parts of the fear, yet the fear is so much deeper. But if you start to work through the concepts, what is your fear, and start to work backwards, you'll start identifying different levels of it. And then when you get into that level, and you'll say, but that's not it. This is what it is. Sometimes other things show up when you're having the conversation, and they say, I never even realized that. Don't you think that... sometimes just verbalizing, having a conversation of your fears with someone else really can help start and bring you on this train, you know, of being able to find something out about your what you're really fearing. You know, I think we secularize it. We say, but that's my fear. I identify it as that. Something else is really knocking at the door, trying to get its way out, right?
Oh, absolutely. See, and you're right. There are layers to consciousness. Like, for example, somebody that may hoard food, okay? They're packing in food, It may be just one person, and there's so much food in the house because there's a fear of not having enough food. And what can happen? We take it to the next level. What happens is if there isn't enough food? Well, then I end up going hungry. What happens if you go hungry too long and then that I cease to exist? So there's that fear of not being able to, you know, that's, you know, again, transitioning off of Earth because they didn't have enough to eat and they ceased to exist. But then on a bigger level, why don't they feel, okay, and here's that connection that I always bring in, is why don't they feel that they're not getting, you know, provided by with God? And so as we get into the even deeper levels of who they are, we get into the relationship with God and how they don't feel safe and protected and God will provide, or whatever it may be. And this isn't about religion. This is just fundamental where, you know, where everyone is from is the light. And so we do get into the layers, and as we're getting into layers, it's just releasing on different levels. And then you get to the root cause, and it's not a surface healing. It's more going through the layers, going through the levels, getting to the root, and just releasing. And then an emotional release place, which many people can feel, and they get lighter, and they feel brighter, and they feel more of a sense of peace, relief and peace.
Right. You know, I think a lot of times we look at society and we say, what's coming up for it? What's showing up in society now? And sometimes it reflects back on our level of spiritual growth, our level of consciousness at that time, or perhaps just where the collective needs to start paying attention. I reflect back on, you know, the AIDS in the 1980s when it first came out. I live in New Orleans. I have seen AIDS, this AIDS complex, pretty much 5 to 10 years prior to it being identified on out in society as a disease and classifying it and everything, and had worked in dental field with it for so many decades, and it just didn't it didn't raise fear in me. It just raised, this is what I need to do, this is how I do it, and this is what's the best. Sometimes people are now saying with the virus, they have a fear of, you know, the medical community. They don't have help. They don't know how to do it. This isn't doing it right. The government isn't helping me doing it right. But in essence, if you're able to take care of self, if you're able to understand your fears, and if you are able to have an engaging conversation with someone else, that truly is the first few steps to be able to walk through whatever's going on in social media or on the television or outside of your domain. And I think sometimes people say, but I don't know how to work it through. Really, those few steps is the greatest start, don't you think?
Oh, exactly. One of the tools I give to clients and I teach students is that we just identify, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? When fear comes up, what are you feeling? Fear. Fear of what? My boss just said something to me and it upset me. And I said, well, so what if your boss said something upsetting? Well, that means then I should take it to the next level. Well, then it means that maybe, you know, I might lose my job. What happens if you lose your job? Well, then I won't be able to have a home. What happens if you don't have a home? Then I end up on the street. What happens if you end up on the street? Then I cease to exist. So
right.
See, then you're bringing it down to those levels. And then I have some clients that are like, they're so tight. And they don't want to go there. They don't want to, they want to brush aside, bring in pretty rainbows and butterflies and not look at those emotions when, you know, like sadness or hurt or worry or anxiety or the fears. And they dissolve it away and they do this. And so for me, I do this thing where I will just contact them through the day randomly at first to get them into addressing the emotions. And I will send a text, what are you feeling? One word. You know, and they may say sad, and then, you know, somebody that's struggling with just staying at that point and staying with that emotion will then add, oh, but I know my day is going to get a lot better. And I go, no, one word. So I almost have to train some people to go back to the emotion, stay there, feel it, to release it, instead of bringing in you know, like I said, all the unicorns or whatever, and I'm going to go to nature and I'm going to forget about these emotions. But again, they don't go away. They don't go away. If anything, they get bigger, because every time you feel it, it gets a little bigger, and you feel it again, it gets a little bigger, you feel it again, it gets a little bigger, till eventually, like stress, for example, fear can also, like I said, will manifest on the body, on the physical body. You know, right. If it's problems with the shoulders, they're carrying too much weight. Fear of letting go of too many responsibilities can show on the shoulders. Hips having to do with flexibility, moving forward. Somebody that has hip replacement, when I go into the deeper levels, I see fears of expansion, fears of change, fears of stepping outside the box, and all that comes with those fears of becoming somebody becoming who they truly are, and the fears that come with that, whether that be abundance or lack of social acceptance or anything else, credibility. And then we go through and we release all the various aspects of that particular fear. And then what happens is light comes into the wound, into that area. And then again, the light comes in because it couldn't go in before. And then the healing takes place.
Right. Let's talk for a second, Joanna, about worry. I've always said that worry is you're just stuck in neutral, you know? And it's quite all right to be in worry if that's where you need to be today. Sometimes worry can be the point where you're saying, I see this, and now you're kind of just looking around 360. So sometimes worry is a place that you might need to be to say, what am I worried about? Well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that.
Right.
And
right.
It takes you upon a dialogue that sometimes you'll be able to eventually say, okay, I don't need to worry about that anymore, because something will show up and shift. However, worry, I think sometimes a lot of people say, I don't want to have worry. There's no such thing. Worry doesn't work for me. But yet, sometimes we get into the point where those paths or those rituals or those feelings keep showing up in different cloaks. In other words, fear can show up as so many different things. Anxiety can show up as so many different things. Worry has a place at different times or different points in our life, if that's our choice. And it's, I think about back to my kids, you know. They would go out at night. They're 17 years old. They're in a car. They're going down to the French Quarter in New Orleans. We're going, oh, dear, you know, and they're not back till 6 in the morning. And you're going, I have all these fears. I'm sitting up for hours. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. When really what you're doing is creating scenarios, going through scenarios, but you're also, too, maybe filtering through some of your past stories. And something you'll be able to say, maybe I'm fearing something because I did it. It showed up for me before, and that's when the work can truly start. Sometimes our worry is about us versus we think that the worry is about outside of us.
Right. Well, see, there's a lot of, understand that there is a lot of judgment about emotions. So many times you hear somebody go, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I'm worried about it, and I know it's really, you know, it doesn't make sense to feel this way and worry about this person or worry about it. I know it doesn't make sense, or that people in general will just say, well, I'm going to just push that aside because it's not logical. And what I always say to people, logic and emotions are two different things. And there's judgment placed on how people feel, because the worries and the fears, by expressing your emotions, which can reflect in the throat. So if you have issues with your throat in particular, not speaking your voice, not speaking your truth and suppressing your voice and your opinions, some of the most common ones I run into are fear that people, they're going to turn away, they're going to lose friends. You know, if I'm Debbie Downer, if I'm always sad, then I'm going to lose friends, I'm going to lose family members, people aren't going to want to be around me, I'm going to end up alone. See, ultimately what happens is you're driving people away with your emotions, you're going to end up alone. or if you start feeling like, you know, if I express my opinions, there's a fear that it'll look like I lack intelligence. So we then release that. We release that, that their voice is invalid. They have nothing, of importance to say. And I always say to many, many people, I just say to them, you know what? There's a reason for why you feel the way you do. And they are valid. Your emotions are valid. And usually that person will soften up and then they'll open up more about what they're feeling.
Yeah, I think sometimes the idea is that there's been a lot of judgment on anyone being able to speak out. In the present or in the past or whatever you want to call it. But the idea is that if you even just speak something, there's immediately somebody that will turn around and say, but no, that's not right. That's not my reality. And, I mean, even, you know, you could take it as 360, there's going to be all types of people. And the idea is sometimes do you need to always speak it out? That's okay. You can speak it out. But you may be able to speak it out to yourself. You don't always have to profess to try to change others to be able to fix those things. I think sometimes people say, but I want to be heard. Now, being want to be heard is a different totem pole. So the idea is, do you speak out just because you want to feel what it feels like to have a voice? That's one thing. But feeling to be heard, what is your validation core all about? You know, do you need to be heard so that other people can validate who you are or that so that you could see yourself and know that you still do exist? A lot of people sometimes say, I need other people to hear me or see me or like me or follow me or whatever that is because that makes me feel blah, blah, blah. And they go down that road, yes?
Oh, well, you see a lot of that on social media, that people are posting things because they want a lot of likes, which means they want a lot of acceptance, which means they don't have full acceptance of themselves. So, you know, if they're putting their opinions out there, they just want to rally everybody up around them that's in agreement with them because they're not feeling secure about their own opinions, their own emotions, their own views, their values. And so they're looking for approval from others. And that's what a lot of that posting is about, is self-reflection. Like, you know, they just want to hear that they're doing a good job, or they want a pat on the back, or whether it be a loss in the family, a loss of a loved one, a pet. They just want that approval to come in. And again, go into why do they want approval? Well, because they don't feel approval of themselves. See, again, our realities, our lives reflect what we're holding. If we don't feel good about ourselves, then people will, you know, then turn around and seek it externally through social media, through relationships or friendships or whatever. They then surround themselves with people that like them, because they're just not feeling, or, you know, they go into relationships where they find people to complete them because they feel incomplete themselves.
But that's also true. But that also is necessary at some point in our existence. In other words, we all go through these points that we want to feel heard and we feel unheard. We want to feel present and we feel unpresent. We want to feel we have a voice and we might come up, you know, with a relationship or an existence that we're not heard or we're not validated or we feel abused or we feel this. In other words, we tend to understand that in this lifetime, we are now filtering through a lot of the other timelines that we've had in other lifetimes that we've existed in. And we are now able to see that. The difference is that if you grew up in the 1950s or 1940s or 1930s, that was not available to you at that time to be able to do that. So they existed that way. And I think sometimes we always say, well, let's look back at history. And, you know, pretty much history, I have the sense that history has stopped. The year 2001, there was like this line that you will cross and says, no more back looking. And I said on this show before is that I think kids in kindergarten need to learn physics. They need to learn about their health and their body. Maybe they should have some, you know, chemistry classes or anatomy classes in kindergarten. And stop looking about, you know, do I need to color or look at the past about the Cowboys and Indians? Because we aren't going back there anymore. We're creating going forward. And I think that's the biggest difference. So a lot of people are saying, why are we having this discussion of fear? Why do we need to worry about changing my energy? Why do we need to worry about what's out there? If we can go along, everything will be okay. And I think the idea is that we've now come to a point of choice and change. That's a difference, where we're not repeating the old dogma. We're not consistently moving 9 to 5 every day. When you turn 65, you retire and you're whatever. You know, there's a lot more out there. So now as we expand and understand we're so much more, that's the difference. That's why we have the conversation today. That's why we talk about today's energies, not last week, not last year, or replicating. Where are we now? And how can we move forward, don't you think?
Right. Yeah, exactly. See, this is the direction that we are heading in now. With the expansion and the shift of consciousness that is taking place on Earth now and the higher vibrations coming, the focus now is to not always label everything, not give it a name, not memorize. It's working more with consciousness because our true nature is light. Light that is expansive and evolving and growing and the light going out. And every time we do linear work, like whether it be, and I know this, you know, balancing the checkbook or memorizing and you're all, it's like crunching almost. You can feel your light suppressing and coming in. And it's a matter of working with consciousness now because you can get everything you need through source, through God, and working with that consciousness, moving into the higher realms of that, like they do in the other dimensions and other places where they focus on for the younger members of their cultures. They don't have a public education or educational system like we do on Earth. They focus more on working with the intuitive gifts, the healing abilities, working with consciousness, because that's our true nature, and that's really who we are. And it's a matter of tapping in and tuning in and working with what we have, our innate abilities of healing, which everybody can heal with their hands, and everybody can do mediumship, everybody's a psychic. It's just, but the way it is on Earth now, people don't see that they have that. They're not connecting with
right.
those parts of themselves that they were born with.
Right. Yes, and I think, Joanna, I think concluding this part of the show about our energy and our spirituality part, I think what truly can say is that if you're feeling or sensing or knowing something is different, if you right. are feeling that you'd like to make a different choice, or you're just not quite sure, and something is like anxiety, fantastic. I'm so thrilled you have anxiety today. That means your energy is waking up. I'm so glad you have worry because you've got some more choices. You're spinning around. You're stuck. Ooh, okay, let's just push it in gear, see where it's going to go. I'm thrilled that you have fear. Let's talk about fear for a minute. Where is it going? Where is it coming from? Because you've just now brought fear out into the light to be identified. So we say, do we want to run from anxiety, worry, fear, and not necessarily. We want to bring it up and say, oh, cool, what are we going to do with this? And that's what we're talking about, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because sometimes when you bring fear up right into the open, it's not everything you thought it was. You know, and they'll go, oh, is that what I was afraid of? You know, and then as we break it down,
right.
we open it up and you know, all they've been hanging on for so many lifetimes and then finally when we just take a good look at it and pull it apart and go to the layers and they go, oh, wow. And I said, you know, I always say, see, this is, we're just releasing it now. We got to make room for who you are. In order for you to become who you are and bring in more of who you are, we have to release the old. Fear is what we release and similar emotions like that. And that brings in your light. You become more of who you are. And then you address the fears and look again. They're not always what people think they are. They're not, you know, as big of a deal as they believe.
Right. Yeah. It's something to work with and understand. Oh, this is where I am today. But not also to not be able to beat yourself up and say, oh, I shouldn't be here. I think the idea right. is all is okay. Well, Joanna, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. We'd like to thank you for sharing your thoughts and spiritual healing today. And your website is on the bottom of today's show page for more information.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we're going to have a break at this moment for 1 second, and we're going to be able to bring in my next co-host, and we'll begin in a moment.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Now we are going to be speaking with Linda Patrick. She's a Reiki master, and we're going to be talking about elders, fear, anxiety, and worry. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Jeanette.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Linda, don't you think that fear and anxiety and worry is really, for those over the age of 60, 65, don't you think this idea of the virus or of things going on in society now that we're not able to have control of is really taking a toll on elders?
Yes, I do. It's, I think to many of them, it's shaken up their world. It's like a whole new ball game, and what they're used to is being shook up.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do, and so you worry or you're in fear. Maybe you talk to your friends and they feel the same way, and they don't seem to figured out a way of how to deal with it, maybe.
Don't you think there's not enough conversation among elders to be able to say, what should I do? Because people are kind of like scattered. I mean, we see women all the time. They stay in relationships because they're afraid to be alone, you know, or they stay because they want to have health insurance, or they stay because they still have a roof over their head. And, you know, the idea of do we need to turn around and say, what am I going to do? I don't know, because I might be alone. Isn't the idea of just being alone really something that really shakes you?
Yes. It sometimes it bothers me, you know. I don't have any immediate family. They all
right.
left before I did.
Yeah.
So I do have friends, and I keep up, you know, I make sure they're okay and stay in touch with them. And that helps me a lot. It helps me with how I feel at any given time, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a news thing that sets me off, or, you know. They're talking about homeless, and I think there are a lot of elders who worry about that, for example.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
their health care, you know,
mm-hmm.
And how they're going to make a living, you know, how they're going to be able to pay their bills.
Yeah. And I think those are really valid points. You know, there's a lot of times we say, but you should do it this way, or you should do it that way, or I've got something and it's going to fix you. And really, if you're an elder over 65, it's sort of like a lot of little short steps can help, but they're not really necessarily looking for someone out there to be their miracle guru. Don't you think they're just looking for someone to say, can you just help me get day to day? You know, we look at the virus thing as sort of like, it's okay. You know, we see masks. So what do I do? What do I do? Go to the store and buy a box of masks and put them on your counter. Okay, check. You've got that off, you know? Or put some water in your house. Okay, check. That's done. I'm okay. And then the worry can dissipate, or the fears, you can say, you know what, I will be okay. I might be not doing something perfect, but I could still do something the best I can. Do you think that maybe we're afraid that the best we can is not good enough?
Yes, and I think in that, then you really do need to talk to, you know, your friends and say, well, what are you doing? And this is what I'm doing, and share that information. A lot with this, it's come up, you know, where to get a, for example, with the coronavirus, you know, should I get a mask? Well, you get it. Doesn't mean you're going to need it, but if you get it, then you're going to feel a little more comfortable, like you've taken some kind of step to improve your situation. If something does, you know, if this coronavirus spreads a little bit more than what's out there now, when you go to the store, you can buy, you know, a bag of split peas, you know, and just have it there in case. Just you know, add a little bit. Maybe if you've got a pet, you know, maybe you buy two more cans every time you go to the store, so your pet is taken care of. Or buy, you know, a couple of more things of water. For some people, maybe they decide, well, we're going to put a, you know, I would feel more comfortable if I now had a water filter on my, you know, on my system, and then fill up. There are a lot of people who want to, who are concerned with the environment. So they would reuse plastic water jugs and stuff that they already have. You get different ideas.
Right. Don't you think the idea is that, you know, I live in a Hurricane Alley in New Orleans, you know. We always know that when it comes to March, that's the can season. What that means is the store's turning over their expiring things, you know, they'll be expiring, you know, in the next year, and they'll sell them for a good price because everybody puts it into their savings. So they'll have some canned goods if there's a storm that comes. Or we know that we start buying a few more things of water, you know, when it comes to March, you know. 4 or 5 cases on the corner of the room is no big deal. You'll eventually drink through it in the summer, you know, but you have it.
Sure.
So I think the idea sometimes is that people say they worry and they have fear about it, but they don't take an action. I think sometimes the action is where they get stuck. Well, I don't know the right thing. Well, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It just matters that you did something and whatever shows up, right?
Right. I live where there are earthquakes on the West Coast, and where I live now, you see a sign going into some parts that says, you know, tsunami zone, and then you drive back out of it, and it's a gentle reminder to me. I don't panic about it, but it's like, okay, I do need to have a few more things, because I don't live right in the town, and so I'm going to the grocery store, and it, you know, reminds me, okay, well, you know, Fred Meyer's is having a sale on bottled water, so I'll pick up the case.
Right.
So, again, there are little things, as you said, little small steps that just move you forward and reduce your anxiety and reduce your fear. And if you don't know where to start, ask your friends, and if you don't, if they're like we, a lot of people aren't here during the winter, so maybe your friends are back in the Midwest, then you can always ask the fire department. They'll tell you things that you can do. And if you are computer savvy, you can get on your phone or your computer and look that up as well. But I think sometimes it's better to talk to somebody in person that makes you feel more comfortable than just sitting there by yourself, isolated.
Let's talk for a second about the health of elders and truly about when fear and worry come up. I think the biggest concern is that I won't be able to have my medications, I won't be able to see a doctor if I need to, or I don't know, quote, what to do. And I think that we can understand is that the healthcare systems are set up correctly, and there are many people who will be able to assist you. If you can't get your medication, you can call the pharmacy. Sometimes they deliver. You can also call the fire department because there will always be someone there to connect you with other social services. You know, I always say to people, you know, oh, I'm out running, you know, my blood pressure must be going up. And I say, are you passing a fire station? They're like, yeah. I say, go in. They take your blood pressure. Did you know that? I think utilizing other services for different things that we might not have even thought about it. You can go to the dentist and they can give you some information. You can go, if you're passing a pharmacy, and go in and say, you know what, I'm worried about this. Do you have any thoughts? The pharmacist will Google it on the information, and he'll give you a printed sheet. He'll help you find information. Or you could say, well, I really don't, you know how to find information on my own. Other people at a library can help you Google information, and they can print it out for you and give it to you. So I think the idea is that if you feel like you're alone and you don't have anybody, there are people out there, right?
Right. And you can also go to the senior center and ask. There's usually somebody there that can who's more familiar. I've just moved to where I live, so I'm not familiar with everything that's out there and available. And I'm at a different, I've never lived in this state before, and they have a slightly different way of doing things. And they call services that I'm used to by different names.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just going there. And again, the fire department is great because they can let you know, or the senior center, you can call, and usually they'll let you know when somebody will come in to talk about that or who you can contact right away.
Yeah, it does make a difference. And also, too, here's another thought I thought about, Linda, too, is that, you know, if you go to places like McDonald's or Starbucks or a coffee shop, there's always someone in there who has a computer. And if you said, hey, you know, I don't know how to work a computer, can you help me find some information on this? Or can you help me connect with someone or something? Someone will always help you. If all you have to do is sit down next to them and ask them. I think sometimes that's definitely a fear. We don't want to connect with others, but you can easily get over it pretty quickly. If you go to McDonald's, you know, and everybody's sitting there with a computer having a talk, and you say, hey, I need help, everybody's going to say, what you need help with? I think go to the people that you see around you and ask for help. Even if they seem kind of fearful, they may look like you. They may be 90-year-old guys sitting there smoking outside of McDonald's, and they're the best group to help you, you know? I think you can always get help if you ask, right?
Right, exactly, exactly. And I've seen at my local library, when I bopped in to use the computer for something quickly, the librarian that manages the computer area, they're very knowledgeable, and they will, I've sat and watched the librarian help somebody who basically really didn't know anything, how to find the information that they wanted, and print it out for them. So librarians are a wonderful resource, and they love helping people as well.
Let's talk for a second about when you have a fear of something and you say, I have a fear that, you know, I'm going to get sick when I go to the store. Well, you can have the store deliver, or you can go very early in the morning before anyone's ever gotten there. That's two options. Or you can just go out and buy one or two things at one store and maybe go another day to another store. I think the idea is that when fear shows up, can we say there's other answers out there and not be afraid to look at those? And let's talk about elders specifically. Is that going to the store, you know, am I going to have enough food? How many elders have all gone through post-depression time, you know? I mean, we were pretty much brought up on that. I know I was, you know. I mean, in our house, it was you go to the store on, you know, Saturday, and you eat everything till Friday, and the refrigerator might not have anything on the Friday night, you know, until you go to the store again, because that was just the way we grew up. It was what we had. It was, you know, just the way things were. So I think the idea is that we've all seen, I think, over the age of 65, some forms of starvation or some forms of not having enough or some forms of being afraid we wouldn't have enough. Don't you think that's always in the back of our mind?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then right behind that, I agree. And right behind that is not having a place to live.
Yeah. 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 And those are two really big tough ones. Or someone to take care of me. That's the third one, you know.
Right.
And I think, you know, when you get sick, what do you do, you know? I think those are three really huge things. And what I'd say is, as Linda does Reiki and I do energy healing and soul sessions and healthcare consults, find us, you know, ask us questions. We'll guide you to someone, or we will be able to say, hey, check this out. Maybe that might be something different, because truly you and I have been in these places just as well as everyone else. And I think that sometimes we say, oh, well, I go to my doctor, but he's only in his 40s. He doesn't know what it means. Absolutely. We get it, though. Find some elders to ask for help, and they might share their tips. I think that's much better than saying, I'm going to ask a 20, 30, or 40-year-old. They really have no clue, right?
Right, exactly. The other thing, too, is if you wake up in the middle of the night and you are just worried about something, you really write it down what your worries are, and then maybe have another column that says, you know, I mean, and look at it. Say, can I do something right now? Well, no, the grocery store, let's say I'm worried about food. The grocery store is not open right now. But what can you do? Well, the grocery store opens at 8, so I'm going to go to the grocery store at 8 o'clock or right when it opens and buy a few things.
Right.
And you've defined what you're worried about. You look at, okay, what can I do now? I can't do anything now, but tomorrow morning I can go to the grocery store. Then you've looked at it, and you've evaluated it, and you now have a step to take.
Yeah.
And then that releases that worry rattling around in your mind, and you can relax a little bit and probably go back to sleep.
Right. Let's talk for a second about the idea of, you know, when you feel that jumping inside of you, like that anxiety, or that we call, you can give it any fear, anxiety, fear, worry, whatever you want. But sometimes when you just get a hug or someone just holds your hand, we all know those two comforting things. And now we turn around and they're saying, ah, keep your distance. You're not supposed to do that. Do you think that that's going to really cause some problems? I almost see it as, yes, it does. And I would say, as if you're afraid and you have a friend and, you know, you really want to just hold their hands, and wash your hands, you know? Or if you have someone you want to give them a hug, you know, wear a sweater, you know, that can be washed. And just give them a hug anyway. When you get home, just throw it in the washing machine, and then your fear is gone. Do you know what I mean? So the idea
is that... Yeah, those are good ideas. Yeah,
it's like, don't be afraid of... Don't be holding yourself back from those things that you need to feel comforted, because your heart's going to take a strain. Your heart's going to start feeling, oh, it's going to be beating fast, or it's not going to be feeling right, or then you're going to say, oh, now do I have a problem with my heart? Maybe you just need to connect with others and get a hug or hold someone's hand. And maybe that might help, don't you think?
Yeah. Or even, you know, you shouldn't really change. Like, if you're going to interact with people, if you go to the grocery store, you shouldn't it makes no sense to me to be in such a hurry because you're afraid that you might catch something.
It's, right.
You know, because then that creates some anxiety on everybody's part, the people in line, the clerk, you know, who you chat with every week, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. you're sort of not doing that. Those are, that kind of human interaction is, you know, what people need. They need that back and forth communication. And
right.
one of the fears is I'm worried about being around other people. And so you pull in, you don't talk to the people around you. You might talk on mm-hmm. the phone or something, but I mean, the people you normally interact with as you go through the day, the person at the hardware store, when you go to buy pet food, that kind of thing.
Right.
You stop, you're walking your dog and you see somebody on the street, you know, and maybe they're new to the neighborhood or new at the doggy park or whatever. You talk to them.
Right.
And instead of being fearful of every person that you run into.
Right, because you may be having the same issues as they. They may be still needing a hug too. They may still need someone to talk to them.
Right.
Exactly. It's not always mm-hmm. about your stuff going forward. They may be depending on you talking to them. They may be depending that if they go out for a walk, someone's going to say hello. Because maybe they're in their house all the time and they want someone to say hello. So if you're walking by, you best show up, you know? So I think show
right.
up for yourself, but show up for other people too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's talk for a second about grocery stores. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about, woo boy, you know? And I always say to people, and I've always done it with my kids, is if you have that kind of thing going on or you don't feel well, or whatever. Always, you know, the sweaters that have the really long sleeves. I would always say, pull the sweater down over your hands, and just then set the sweater on the basket handle. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times people say,
yeah.
"Well, you're wiping it off." Well, you're wiping it off, but then you're touching something else, and that really doesn't do anything. So create barriers. Best thing to do is long sweater sleeves. You know, or hey, mm-hmm. did you get those really cool, you know, those really cool gloves that a lot of elders have, you know, that have, they have little tiny pearls on the wrist and they used to have little tiny embroidery down the
oh,
end
yeah,
of the
I
little finger.
Yeah.
I used
Sunday
to have
gloves.
A lot of, a lot of those gloves and they used to have a lot of little embroidery on it. And I definitely remember the pearls all the time at the wrist, you know. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, hey, start pulling those out and don your hat, put on your pearls and go straight to the store and you're all okay, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think the idea is that things can be washed. So wear some more things that can be washed. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, make sure you're talking to everybody because they're depending on you speaking to them just as well as you need to be heard and seen. I think number three is be able to be awake, be aware, reach out to people so they know you're still here. Probably like number four might be take care of yourself. Do eat. Do take your medications. If you have questions, find somebody that will help you with that. And number five, I think, would be write down your fears and then find someone that can help talk through. A pharmacist, you know, a fireman, your doctor, or anybody on the internet these days is happy to talk to anybody, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. I think
those are all good ideas, good tips.
Yeah, I think those are the biggest ones that get you started because as, you know, life progresses, we kind of get, where am I in this quandary? And we kind of get really concerned, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, Linda, it was
really...
such a...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was such
no,
a pleasure to have
to
you
others.
With us because talking to others, don't you think just as you and I are talking today is hearing the voice?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a tough place to be when you don't have much to talk to. Hey, pick up the phone. Dial the wrong number. Someone's bound to talk to you, right? You know, we see that on social media. Someone's called up someone and they ended up talking to the wrong person and they end up being friends. So you never know, right? Absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today. I think sometimes elders feel that they're a lost culture, you know, off in Siberia somewhere, and, you know, the rest of the world's proceeding on without them, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you. I appreciate being on the show.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information, the links are on the bottom of today's show page. I do have a free newsletter, and March Healing Sessions special is up. What we're really truly saying is that if you have fear, anxiety, or worry, it's great. Talk to me about it. Tell me, what is it? What are you afraid of? What do you have anxiety about? It's about having conversations instead of holding it on inside and saying, oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm better than that. Or, ooh, I'm not going to go there. I don't know what kind of can of worms I just opened. Truly is okay. Find someone to talk to, and there's always help around. Reach out. Go to my website. You'll be able to find more information. We have a Let's Talk special. You never know. Maybe that will be able to help you get through these days. Thank you so much for joining us today. And on the next Taking the Pulse on Today's Energies, we're going to be talking about peace, about mission, and about mercy. What is it about? It's about caring for each other in humanity. Definitely a great conversation. Check us out. It'll be March 22nd at 1 p.m. Central Time, and hope to see you there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.